Our scripture for this morning is Psalm 145, 1 through 5, and 17 through 21. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As this week we celebrated our veterans, those that, as I shared with the sixth grade center when I spoke over there this week, are the heroes among us that represent true values of service and sacrifice to others as well. Do we have any veterans in the congregation today? Will you all please rise? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service and what you do. We appreciate it so much. Have you ever noticed what happens when you take two veterans and you put them in the same room together? They start to tell stories. And if they're two veterans or two service members that serve together, they tell stories. First, they start off with the last time they saw each other. Then they usually move on to crazy things that they did together. And then if they're around long enough and if they're around enough drinks that help them with their conversation, they start to tell stories about people that did even crazier things than them. And the stories just sort of build on each other. And it's so funny, the war stories or the funny stories that you hear, especially when you get two veterans together. The stories that my dad would tell me of things that they did and things that they saw were just incredibly funny. We always had just a great time hearing stories from my dad and what he did. One of the things that my dad would do he would come home every evening, and we would always sit around the dinner table. And he would always tell us about something that some crazy private did that day. There was always one particular private. I think it was a November of one particular year. He was talking about this one particular private, and this kid just could not get anything right. I mean, he always showed up too late, or he showed up too early, or he sent him to go find something, and he'd come back with the wrong thing. And it's just one day my dad just had enough. And he told him that he just made him stand at the position of attention outside of his office door for over an hour before he even had him come in to his door. Now, when I would walk into my dad's office, he was a sergeant major at the time. I would always hear stories of how frightening it was for these young soldiers to have to go and stand in front of my dad, which I always thought was funny, that my dad was this big scary guy, and that these big army guys were afraid of him. But he had this device that he hung outside his office door, kind of like a paddling stick that you would see in like an old principal's office or something like that. And it had an acronym to it. It was a special high intensity training stick. That was his special high intensity training stick. And soldiers were terrified of that stick and the stories that they heard of what would happen if my dad ever came out and grabbed that stick. Now, I don't think that he ever actually did. I don't think that there was actually ever a story that went along with that that was based in any amount of truth whatsoever. But most war stories aren't really ever based in truth, I don't think. Right? But some of the stories is, my dad was telling about this private that he could never get anything right. And as he had him standing outside his office door, he finally had him came in, and my dad would just tell the story about how he just lit into him and tore him up and down and just yelled at him for so long that the kid forgot what it was like to sit anymore. And he would just tell just everything that he did for this young soldier. But then that was so funny is we would kind of laugh at what he did, and we would laugh at this young soldier's sort of misfortune at the time. But the story kind of continued in a different way as a couple weeks went by, because we started to notice that a lot of these young soldiers that my dad was telling funny stories about how they were messing up and ways that he would have to yell at them and correct them and things like that, was when Thanksgiving rolled around just a few weeks later, every single one of those soldiers that he told a story about was at our Thanksgiving dinner table. And he invited them all to Thanksgiving. And after dinner, they all went outside on the back porch, and he talked to every single one of them. And he mentored them, and he coached them, and he asked them what was going on in their lives and how he could help them. And in the weeks that followed, he went over and he went out with other friends of his, and they bought Christmas presents for these kids. They went out and they did work on these guys' cars and these houses, and they helped them, and they lifted them up. And so the stories that he began to tell, I began to realize, really had a deeper meaning. And the real story that my dad was telling me was the value of what it is to lift up the next generation that's to come, and to mentor and to coach and to have compassion and love for those that you're responsible for. And that story is one that stuck with me for a long, long time. And this past week, I got a chance to speak at the sixth grade middle school center, the Thompson Sixth Grade Center just up the street here, about Veterans Day. And I shared a few of the things that I use in my ministry that I feel like can teach us a little bit about veterans and teach us a little bit about the military and understanding them. But the real lesson that I wanted to pass on to these sixth graders was all these veterans that were in the room around us were wanting to pass something on. They're wanting to pass that flag and that torch and their stories on to a next generation so that the legacy of service that they've bought into, that they've served into, is ready to be picked up by another generation as well. This worked for Veterans Day. It worked for the many events that we had this week. But as it began to occur to me this week that this is the story of our faith as well. The way that we tell stories, the way that we tell stories of what God has done in our lives, and the way that we live our lives, the way that's actually lived out. My dad might have told stories about what he did with soldiers, but when we actually saw how he lived his life, was that he lifted up these soldiers and he built them up and he mentored them and he coached them. So the way that we live our lives tells a greater story about our faith and what we believe about God and what we believe about others than anything else in this world. Out of everything that was happening this week with an election, with Veterans Day, moving into the holidays, we come back to a place of simplicity. And I think this psalm that David wrote, Psalm 145, one of the last psalms in the book of Psalms, a psalm of praise, brings us back to the story that we tell with our lives. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. But here's the part where we get tied into this. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, on all your wondrous works, I will meditate. And that challenged me this week. That challenged me about what's the story that I'm telling others? What's the story that I'm telling with my life with my actions, with my words? And what am I passing on to those that are to come after me? What am I teaching the youth and the children of this church? What am I teaching my kids? What am I teaching the soldiers that I'm responsible for? Because the way that we pass on a story is so vitally important. Now, David tells us exactly the way that we prepare to tell that story. That we meditate. That we meditate on all his wondrous works. And so I had a challenge this week that I wanted to extend to you, that I've accepted and lifted up myself as well. I want you to take an opportunity this week to take some time aside. Out of all the craziness, out of all the busyness that I know that we all have this week, I'd like to take a space and dedicate that space, make it holy and sacred to you, and meditate on the works of God. All the things that God has done in your life, of all the things that God has provided for you, all the ways that God has shown up for you. And once you've meditated on it, I want you to find somebody and tell them a story of something that God had just shown you in that moment. Tell the story of how God has shown up for you. Because the words of our mouths, the actions of our lives, they tell a story of what we believe about God. And that is what gets passed on. That's what gets picked up by the generation that's to come. And so what's the story that we're telling? In the very last verses of the psalm, verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his name forever and ever. What would it be if the moral of every story that we told was the goodness of a God that shows up for us time and time again? I feel like that could change the world. I feel like it could change this community. I feel like it could change our lives. One of the last things that I remember when I was graduating from the chaplain schoolhouse at Fort Jackson was of all the war stories that my dad ever told me and all the stories that he shared about being in the military, is he came up and he said, now it's your turn to tell stories. And he came up to me and he straightened my uniform out a little bit because I was a second lieutenant. Second lieutenants don't know how to wear uniforms. And he said, I now leave you the army. Don't break it. And in a sense, I feel like that's part of our legacy in faith as well. That those saints that we honored last week, that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, they're saying, I'm leaving you, the church, to tell its story, to live its life. Allow that moral of that story to be the goodness of a God that shows up for us time and time again. Because we are the saints who remain, who still have a story to tell. So tag, you're it. And it's time to go tell a story. We have a moment today where we'll have communion. And this table, this meal, ties us into a story that is thousands of years before us and might extend thousands of years to come as well. But we are written into a part of that story, and we'll share a chapter of that here today as well. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks out of the richness of the abundance of your grace and your spirit that you have given us. Lord, a portion of your life and your spirit. We each have a story of how you have come down for us individually and faithfully, of how you have lived within us and provided for us and answered our prayers. Allow us a space this week to meditate on your wondrous works. Allow for us to have a space to remember what it is that you have done for us, and then allow us to have an opportunity to go and to tell that story. The only story that never ends. The only story that ends with us, with you, forever. As we pray this all in Jesus' name, amen.